As with all times when we minister, I want to pray the blessing of God over the congregation as found in the book of Titus. It declares that grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior, and I speak this over the family of G2GCC, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. If you look in your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28, 1 Peter 3, and Joel 2. Matthew 28, 1 Peter 3, and Joel 2. In Matthew 28, Elder Johnson alluded to it earlier, but we're going to cover it again. In Matthew 28, verse number 18, we're going to start there. When you have it, say, I have it. And it reads, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them," someone say teaching them, "to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen." Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3. In 1 Peter 3, we're going to look at verse number 15. When you have it, say, I have it. Verse number 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." We need to be ready. Someone say, we need to be ready. Look at Joel chapter 2. Joel 2. In Joel 2, we're going to look at verse 27 through 29. When you have it, say, I have it. And it reads, "And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons," say your sons, "and your daughters," say your daughters, "shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days will I pour out my spirit." Now, the title of today's message, this message that the Lord gave me, is entitled, "Go, Reaching Millennials, Post Millennials, and Reaching the Culture." Go, Reaching Millennials, Post Millennials, and Reaching the Culture. The purpose of this message is to encourage G2GCC members to view the millennial generation as a necessary focus for the Go outreach efforts and activities in fulfilling the Great Commission and the vision of G2GCC. Basically, what that means is we need to make millennials and the next generation of young people our focus. I want you to think, years ago, I asked the question, and I'll ask it today. If you were over the age of 40, raise your hand. Look around. Keep your hands up. Look around. Now drop. Put your hands down, please. If you are under the age of 40, raise your hand. That's our future. This is our future. The goal of this teaching is to provide our members to provoke our members to purposefully intentionally, say intentionally, and say actively, reach out to millennial generation in obedience to the Great Commission and the vision of G2GCC. We have a vision, we have a mission, we have a mandate to go. But if we don't reach out to those young people, if we don't reach out to the next generation, guess what? The enemy has a plan for them already. He has a system, he has a plan, he has mechanisms, he has tools that's intended to snatch the next generation. As a result of this teaching, well, let me say this first. One of the things I plan on doing is I want to define and clarify who millennials are and provide some demographic information about them, because you need to know about them. You may have them living in your house, but you may not know them. I say that because a few years ago, my wife had a conversation with a young man that's a part of this church, and I love him. And she asked him a question about his parents. He said, "My parents don't know me." Right here in this church. Do you know your children? Don't say yes, because they may have things in their heart and in their mind that's contrary to what you think about them. We're going to describe the value, the power, and the importance of the millennial generation. You need to understand, they are the largest demographic right now in this country and in the world. You go to countries like Africa and India, more than 35 to 40% of their population is under the age of 35. And unfortunately, we know what the Bible says, many people are beginning to pass on. And so we need to pass the faith on, but we need to disciple them. We'll get into that later. We also need to provide some how-tos on reaching out to millennials. So who are the millennials? Write this down. Who are millennials? Millennials are those who were born between 1980 and 1995. Generation Z, or the next generation, they're born from 96 up to the present time. Millennials are those between the age of 18 to 35, as I stated before, on average. Millennials are those who are referred to as the Echo Boomers or Generation Y. They are the largest demographic in the United States. They are roughly around 75 million people. I'm going to give you some scripture, but I need to give you some information first. It's about 75 million right here in this country. Millennials are the largest demographic leaving and missing from traditional churches. They are the largest demographic of people who are leaving and missing from most churches. I've had conversations with pastors across this area, and a lot of churches have been struggling to keep their young people there because we've been trying to pass on tradition without getting them to know and have an encounter with Christ. When you look in Scripture, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, you're going to notice that people who God used in a powerful way first, everyone say first, had an encounter with God for themselves. It's one thing for you to teach your child what the Word of God says, but they may be doing it just because you said it. It's not in their heart. And if they don't know God for themselves, guess what? They'll do it to please you. But once they turn 18, someone lied to them and said that you're grown. Because they think grown means I can do whatever I want to do. But guess what? You're always going to be submitted to somebody. You're always going to have to obey somebody. You're always going to have to submit to somebody. Whether you choose to or whether they make you. Millennials are the largest demographic, like I said, that's leaving and missing from traditional churches. Some of them are called nones, N-O-N-E-S. And this refers to those who are, they call themselves atheists or agnostics or unaffiliated. This is about 25 million people. 25 million. That's roughly about there's many major cities in this country. Why are they leaving? Why have they left, and why they don't come to church? Millennials feel that traditional churches don't appeal to them. It doesn't appeal to me. I'm bored. I don't get anything out of church. You're talking at me instead of talking to me. Now, I know we have some people here that's over a certain age and you're raised in a certain generation. I was raised in that. The child is to be seen and not heard. Problem is this. When you don't listen to your child, that child holds things in their heart. And how you respond to them lets them know whether or not they can trust you with their heart. If you let them know that if they do something wrong and you blow up, they say, mental note, don't say that again. Don't do that around them again. I'll come to church, I'll dress nice, but then when I'm outside of church, I'm going to be on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, half naked, cussing, and doing all kind of other stuff. But I'll make sure I cover up for you, because I'm interested in appeasing you, not him. Millennials don't believe traditional religious institutions provide them opportunities to connect with others outside of church services. In other words, they have no sense of community or connection. This is something that you need to understand and put an asterisk by this. Millennials need connection. Say that with me. Millennials need connection. The reason why that's important is because they need to have someone that they can bounce their ideas off of, talk to, talk about their frustrations, talk about their struggles, things that's important to them. But guess what? If you don't agree with them, you say, no, and you shut the conversation down. You close their spirit. I'm not saying that you're supposed to do things to make them feel like just lifting them up so much that it's all about them. I'm not saying that. But you got to do this thing. Say this with me. Build relationship. You got to build connection. Say, build connection. And Assistant Pastor Barrett said it earlier. He said, get connected. That should be a model that we ought to start using. Get connected. Because our children, our young people, have gifts, talents, and abilities on the inside of them that can help take not only this ministry to the next level, but the body of Christ to the next level. I want you to think about that. By the grace of God that's on this man's life, he has imparted that into us. I am a college professor, and I never went to school for education. I teach at the college level because of the anointing that's on his life that's in my life. So there's a grace in me to teach, and I thank God for it. But I thank God for the training that this man has provided for us. Amen. And I get to deal with those millennials every day. So I hear some of the conversations that they're talking about. I hear some of the things that's on their heart. Let's keep going. Millennials have a strong need for connection with others, and they will seek it out or they will create their own away from the church. So if we don't create an atmosphere for them to not only be comfortable, but for them to learn, to grow, to thrive, to express their gifts, talents, abilities, and potential, guess what? They'll go do it elsewhere. And when they do it elsewhere, I promise you, if you saw how some of your children think, talk, act around their friends, you would not be happy. I'll say it that way. Millennials believe church is too shallow, that church preaching, they preach false hope, we lack transparency, we don't address contemporary issues that are relevant to them. Now, if you were taught in school that you're supposed to treat everybody fairly and with respect, raise your hand. If you were taught that in school. Including gays, lesbians, transgendered, people who are of the Muslim faith, and all those other different things. See, they were. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up. Train up who? How? Why? So when they grow up, it'll stay with them. They've been taught in these public school systems that you're supposed to treat everyone fairly. So if we're supposed to treat everyone fairly and my friend is gay or my friend is a Muslim or my friend is something else that the church says is a sin or is wrong, now they are conflicted. They're conflicted. What am I supposed to say? This is my friend. This person is nice to me. We hang out. We do stuff together. But the church is saying these people are evil. These people are bad. So now they want to come to you and you shut them down. They're going to hell. That may be true, but that's not how you touch them. That's not how you connect with them. You can't be so focused on doctrine that you're not focused on truth. When we teach doctrine, it's supposed to be sound doctrine, not just doctrine from our denomination or doctrine from our belief or doctrine that's in our household. These are my rules. You do what I say. You become the law, not God's word is the law. You elevate the traditions of man above and make it equal to God's word. That's out of order. You still here? Everybody good? All right. Next, millennials. Millennials believe that the church teaches people to be passive, allows people to walk all over them and not speak up for themselves. Have you ever heard that before? You Christians, y'all too passive. Y'all too weak. See, they don't understand spiritual authority. They don't understand what it means to submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. They don't know that yet. So this is the perception. Everyone say perception. This is the perception that millennials have of the church. Millennials believe the church is skittish or afraid to give real answers about sex, sexuality, and relationships. Ask a question. Watch this. If you knew that your teenage child was having sex, how would you respond? Quiet in this Pentecostal church. Your child want to get a tattoo. How are you going to respond? Get out my house. You do what I say, you get out. That's fine. That is your house. But you're sending them a message. You're sending them a message. And watch this. If you become God to your child, what happens when you die? I say that because a sister said that. Her mother went to be with the Lord a few months back. And she said she realized that her mother was her God. And she's struggling dealing with her mother's passing. They better know who God is and that you ain't him. They better have their own connection, their own relationship, their own encounter with the Lord. But we have to show them how to do it. Not, you gonna listen to me, you gonna listen to me, you gonna listen to me. And you think that that's gonna make them? Mm-mm. They say, okay. Let me turn 18 so I can get up out your house. And I can do what I want to. I can turn up like I want to. Millennials believe that the church is antagonistic about science and are narrow-minded about diversity, inclusion, and alternative lifestyles. Again, all these things are being taught in schools from elementary school. So when you give your children to these institutions from 7 o'clock to 3 o'clock, they are being indoctrinated. Someone say indoctrinated. They're being indoctrinated into the ways of the world. They're being taught how to think, how to feel, how to believe, and how to act. They have them more than you do throughout the week. And you ask them, how was your day at school? Fine. What you learn about? Nothing. They didn't tell you they learned about the intricacies of homosexuality, the intricacies of transgendered lifestyle, the intricacies of how to start a movement or how to protest against your parents or how to get your parents locked up if your parents don't do what you want them to do. I'm telling you what I know. I've worked in these different school districts. I'm telling you what I know. Millennials believe that they are not welcomed and don't have a voice in traditional churches, and they would rather leave than stay silent about their own beliefs, their fears, or their desires. Have we created an atmosphere where young people can freely speak about what they think, and then we can use the word to help correct it? Or do we simply shut them down? There's a statement that I used to teach my young people. I said, whoever has your ear has your tongue. Whoever has your
ear
has your
tongue.
Faith comes by
hearing.
I believe, therefore I have spoken. Whoever has your ear has your tongue. So what are they hearing? Are we models worth following? Are we as the church, are we models worth following? Just recently I saw something in the news about a guy named Kanye West. Anyone ever heard that name? And he now has some sort of church that he does on Sundays. And he brings all of these wonderful, wonderful young people who sing. And they take secular songs and make them into gospel songs. And it's the most beautiful music you ever heard. But his wife was on a talk show recently, and she said, yeah, he has a church, but his church has no word, no preaching, no prayer. It's just music so you can feel good. And he said, that's how church ought to be. That was coming from an influencer who has multiplied millions of people who follow her on Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook. Why am I saying that? Because we as the church, we don't use Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, Facebook. We're not using the tools. Someone say tools. We're not using the tools to reach the millennial generation. That's how they communicate. We need to start reaching out to them using the platforms and the tools that they use. It's not, watch this. People are making multiple millions of dollars using those tools. My wife made a statement. I'm giving my wife credit for it. I know it's Holy Ghost inspired. There are people who make money online while they sleep. Why can't we win souls while we sleep? Say, win souls while we sleep. See, we do that using technology. We can use technology to reach those young people. And I'm not just talking about children. I'm talking about some of your children who are in their 20s and or in their 30s. They may have a place of influence in the culture. They may have a place of influence in society that you and I don't have. But when they come here, Pastor taught us years ago that the church is the place where ideas should emanate, that reaches and infects the culture. Well, if you take a rock and you drop it in the water, there's something that happens called waves. When the word goes forth here in the church, the wave should go out into the community. It should not just affect the people who live immediately in this area. It should affect government. It should affect education. It should affect technology. It should affect media. It should affect all the places that influence culture. Amen?
Amen.
Millennials believe that church and religion has little or no relevance to their own lives. They believe the Bible has no relevance to their lives. Millennials want to end hunger and poverty and discrimination and sex trafficking. They want to end the exploitation of women and children. They want to fight for equality, equity, and fairness for all marginalized people. But they believe that the church is silent on these issues, and they're afraid to talk about it because they're under control of the government. They think we're scared. I'm sorry, scared. And most of us, who, if you were raised in a certain type of environment, if somebody challenged you, you want to step up to the challenge. I ain't no punk. That's a mentality. That's a mentality that has pervaded our young people. Because not only do they hear it in the community, they hear it on social media and everything that has their eyes and their ears and their attention. Don't be soft. Don't be weak. Stand up for what you believe in. What are we telling them? Receive Jesus. Yes, we tell them receive Jesus, but why? How is receiving Jesus for them relevant? Why would they take up this gospel and go preach it to their friends? Why would they preach it to their generation? Why would they go and start clubs and communities on their college campuses and their high schools? Why would they do that when they feel this way?
Why y'all so quiet? Say amen. As Elder John say, say amen to that. PTL Batman.
Millennials value autonomy and free speech over compliance and silence. They feel that they have something to say, so we need to help them to find what their voice is. We need to help them to find what their gift is. There's a scripture I quoted earlier, Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way they should go, right? So when they're old, they won't depart from it. I believe that part of that has to do with training your child in terms of your purpose. Amen. See, when you look in 1 Samuel, when you look in the book of Judges concerning, Judges, I believe, is 13, dealing with Samson. You look in Luke chapter 1, you'll see three stories. You'll see one concerning Samson, you'll see one concerning Jesus, and you'll see one concerning John the Baptist. In each one of those instances, the angel of the Lord spoke to the father and the mother about their child, about how to raise that child related to their purpose. Everyone say purpose. You as a parent have a right to petition God to say, what is my child's purpose and how do I raise my child in accordance to his or her purpose? Not just bringing them to church to learn the word of God. Yes, you need to do that. But you also need to make sure that when you bring them to church, that it's in line with purpose. They understand that the word of God relates to their purpose. So whether their purpose is in the church or outside of the church, they're being trained for their purpose. Millennials are turned off by claims of exclusivity like Jesus is the only way to God. We're not backing off that. However, we need to find out, why do you think that way? Where did that come from? Who told you that? Do you remember that in the scripture? Who told you? See, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, they talk about how they were afraid when God's voice was walking through the garden in the cool of the day. He said, I was afraid and I was naked. He said, who told you that? Did you do what I told you not to do? Guess what? There's some things your children believe. You should be asking, who told you that? Where did that come from? You need to find out what the root of it is. Let's move on. The value, the power, and the importance of millennials. Millennials make up 27% of the world population, which is roughly about 2 billion out of 7 billion. 2 billion with a B out of 7 billion. That's a huge number of people. That's a whole new demographic. That's a whole new generation of people that may not have yet heard the gospel. And we have the charge. We have the message. We have the mandate. And we have the mission to reach that next generation. Amen? They are the largest generation alive today in the U.S., as I stated before, 75 million. They have the greatest presence in the U.S. workforce, about 35%. Why is that important? If they believe this secularism that's being taught in school from a little child, and now they are in positions of authority, they start making hiring decisions, they start making policies decisions, that starts affecting you. When you're working on a job and your boss is 20 years younger than you, and they have a value that's contrary to the word of God. Yes, we have the responsibility to pray for those in positions of authority, and it's no longer just a person who's older than you. They're setting economic policy, educational policy, they're setting governmental policy all across. We need to be praying for them, but we also need to be reaching out to them. They are the most diverse and most educated and the most tech savvy. They are most the politically liberal, the most indebted, the most entrepreneurial, the most active on social media, the most influential in making and shaping cultural norms. They are the most desired demographic among advertisers and product brands. They are the most accepting, the most supporting, and identifying with the LGBTQI++ generation in U.S. history. So that means when you talk about LGBTQ, you're talking about millennials. Not exclusively, but they're the largest demographic. I'm not going to ask you how many of your children have been touched by them. Understand, Just because they're not saying anything to you doesn't mean that something hasn't happened. When they go off to these college campuses and they join some of these fraternities and sororities, when they join some of these social organizations, when they join some of these international organizations, you don't know what they're being exposed to. That's why we have to teach them correctly and make sure that we disciple them. Not just teach them, but we got to disciple them. Say disciple them. We have to, because when they go into these campuses, everything that you've been teaching them is getting bombarded against. They're being told why it's wrong, why it's archaic, why it's out of date, why it's not true. And they're going to get drilled by their professors, by their peers, by their contemporaries all day long. And watch this. If they see their friends having sex outside of marriage and not going to hell, they're going to be like, but mama said, but grandmama said, but Gigi said, but pawpaw said. If that's not true, what else did they tell me that's not true? Who told you that? Millennials question authority and don't trust institutions and or believing in religious leaders. Excuse me. They believe that religious leaders are crooks. They believe that religious leaders are hypocrites. They believe that religious leaders lack integrity. And they believe that ministers of the gospel preach fantasy. Movie just reached $2 billion yesterday. Children are kind of raised in watching fantasy and sci-fi. They believe more than that than they believe the Bible. You don't believe me? Look at how much money they spend on paraphernalia and merchandise. They'll spend money talking about Thanos and Iron Man and Hulk and all them other folk. They'll spend their paychecks on it. They're grown folk who are millennials who will spend money on all that type of stuff because they believe more than that than they do of the gospel and the Bible. Because of these facts, millennials have the potential of being the most impactful generation that we have ever seen because they have the potential to affect every segment, every sector, and every facet of culture and in modern times. They are positioned to reach everyone. So the most impactful, the most cause-oriented generation needs to be connected to the most cause-oriented institution. What's that cause-oriented institution? The church. Someone say the church. Say the church. So millennials need to be connected to the, let's be more specific, to the kingdom. Amen. 92% of millennials have smartphones. 85% have social media profiles. They grew up with technology, and it is second nature to them to use. They use technology all the time. We as the church need to start using that technology. We might need to have them to help us, teach us how to use technology to reach and win souls and advance the kingdom. It's just a thought. Amen. Just a thought. This is what got my attention. In 2011, millennials were responsible for leading protests, riots, and the overthrowing of governments in Egypt, Libya, and Syria. These movements were organized, mobilized, and executed through social media. Why do I mention that? I remember I was on the community college campus looking at the news, and I saw it was at nighttime, and you saw these droves of people walking through the streets of Egypt. And I was like, what's going on? And they said that the young people had overthrown their government. Once they overthrew Egypt, the next month they did it in Libya. The next month they did it in Syria. Later that year, there was a social uprising in London. Then there was something called Occupy Wall Street. Y'all remember that? That was initiated by young people. Then, just a few years ago, young men get shot and killed in our backyard, and the world was paying attention to those millennials who created a riot. They rioted twice, and that thing spread across the country. That should let you know something about St. Louis. When God called our pastor to come to St. Louis, there's something he was called to start. There was something he was called to start. But you need to understand something. Do y'all remember when people were doing this? What do they call that? The Bible says, I surrender all. We missed our opportunity. Because they were out in public, unashamedly lifting their hands up. But it was for a different motivation. They're not afraid to create change. They're not afraid to shake things up. I'm not calling us to be revolutionary, but guess what? The gospel is revolutionary. Revolutionary against the thinking of the world. September 11th, September of 2001, millennials, they initiated the Occupy Wall Street movement through social media. Millennials led the protests nationwide in response to the death of Eric Garner at the hands of New York police officers. I'm bringing all this up because it's not just the world. There's a reason why this happened. Matter of fact, let me say this. There was a young man that was raised in this church, who participated in those riots and the looting right here in St. Louis. He got 5 years federal time. Raised in this church. Say this church. And guess what? He thought that what he was doing was right. I had students who would send me emails and say, Mr. Smith, I won't be able to make it to class today. I got to go to court related to Ferguson. Right here in our hometown. Millennials led the riots and the protests in the Ferguson, Missouri, and nationwide through August 2014, killing of Michael Brown, you know all that. Millennials engaged in rioting and protesting after the injury and the death of Freddie Gray. Millennials engaged in rioting and protesting in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, after Philando Castile was killed. One of Philando Castile's cousins was one of my students right here in St. Louis. Don't think that what you're seeing on the news doesn't affect you or doesn't touch someone you know. And when they're affecting our millennial generation, we have to address it. We can no longer be silent. I said we can no longer be silent. I said we can no longer be silent. I'm not saying we're supposed to be social activists, but we're supposed to be kingdom ambassadors to advance the kingdom. There are people that are hurting. Young people are hurting, and they need us. There are people in scripture that you could say were millennials based upon their story. Someone by the name of Joseph, he was like 17 when he had a vision of leading, right? And he ended up leading while he was still what we would call a millennial today. He was second in command. There's a young man by the name of David who killed a lion when he was 17. Killed a bear when he was 17. Do you know what that does to a young person's confidence when I can do something like that? I can do something nobody else can do. I can code. I can start a business. I can start an organization that changes and affects society. I can move money. I can influence people. Do you know what that does to a young person's confidence? Do you know what that does to anybody's confidence? But it's Christ in you, working through you to cause these things to happen. Not just to make money, not just to be famous, not just to be popular. But there's something that he wants to do through our young people. Say through our young people. They need to know that you are valuable, you are special, you are important, and God has a plan and purpose for your life that will impact the world. Esther. Esther was a young woman. She was so fine that she got the king's attention. Her beauty was about not just her being beautiful. It was about being able to affect the king or the emperor. And she was able to save an entire nation because of her influence of the king. See, she didn't have to be the emperor. All she had to do was just have the emperor's ear. She had to have favor with the emperor. Some of our young people right now are in positions where they have the ear of people who are making decisions. Do they have the word of God in their heart? Do they have the kingdom of God in their heart? Are they concerned about the well-being of those leaders? They can if we disciple them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three young men who were able to change the laws of the land by their witness. You don't bow down, you're going to die. Okay, king, we're not going to bow down to you. He said, who is that God that's going to save you? Yeah. Look, our God is able, and even if he don't, we're still not going to bow down, king. And as a result, God showed up on the behalf of those young people who stood for God. Say they stood for God. And because they stood for God, the laws of the land, say the laws of the land, were changed because of their witness. Because God said, okay, somebody believe me. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are upright before him. He showed himself strong on their behalf. Jesus, how old was he when he started his ministry? He was 30. That would qualify him as a millennial. He changed the world. And what's beautiful was when he was 12 years old. Where are my 12-year-olds? If you're 12-year-old, raise your hand. Where are my 12-year-olds? Raise your hand. Anybody here 12? Thank you, Julian. That's a powerful young man. I can't wait to when God gives him an opportunity to speak to our congregation. I ain't saying he's a preacher, but I can't wait for him because he's got some stuff in him. When Jesus was 12, Jesus was talking to the Bible scholars, we would call it today the theologians, or the legal minds of our day, of his day. He knew what they were thinking at 12, so by the time he was 30, he was a bad something-something. That's why he could shut them down. He said, you focus on the letter of the law, but you don't even understand the spirit of the law. And he was able to minister grace to those people. Let me get to the how-tos, because my time is almost up. How do we reach millennials? Number one, you need to add them to the prayer agenda and pray for them. This is found in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 3. We must pray for them. Number two, we need to learn about them and their interest and be prepared. We need to learn about them and their interest, and we need to be prepared. That's found in Proverbs 11:30. Number three, we need to pray for opportunities to connect with them. Pray for opportunities to connect with them. This is found in Ephesians 6, verse 18 and 20, as well as Colossians 4, verse 2 through 6. Number four, we need to make friends, meaning get to know them. According to Proverbs 18:24, I'm going to say this again. If you don't get to know them, you'll lose them. If you don't get to know them, you'll lose them. Don't let another child walk by. Don't let another young adult walk by and you don't get to know their name. That you don't speak to them. Every time they step up in this place, you need to talk to them. Every time you come across one of them, speak to them. Speak to them. Speak to them. Don't talk down to them. Speak to them. Find out what they're interested in. Ask them questions. Ask them open-ended questions that they can't say yes, no, or I don't know. Ask them open-ended questions. Number five, share your faith with them. Romans 1:16, 1 Peter 3:15. Number six, make reaching millennials a priority personally and corporately. That's found in Matthew 9, verse 37 through 38. Jesus said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. We need to get involved with teen church, reaching out to college students. That's found in Matthew 28:19. And let me say this. I had a conversation with a brother last week, and he made a statement. I want to share it with you all. He talked about a church, a Baptist church that he knows of, where young people who were in college, they went away to school, and he said when those young people graduated to college, they made sure that every single week, say every week, They sent them the word every week. They made sure those young people got the word every single week. They also, throughout the semester, they made sure those young people got gift cards to Walmart and all the other different places to help sow into their lives, to keep them on track. He said, when those young people graduated from college, you know what they did? They came back and were serving. They were serving actively. They were serving with joy because they knew that their church had their back. They knew their church was interested in their well-being. Number seven, we need to get involved with, get involved with teen church. Number eight, we need to commit to disciple one person for the next year. Acts 28, verse 27 through 31. And so in summary, or in conclusion, millennials are the largest demographic in our country. They're the largest group leaving and missing from the church. They have influence in all segments of culture. They have a multitude of reasons for leaving and not attending church. But if we don't reach out to them, they will have a negative impact on the world. Millennials in Scripture have always been world changers and history makers. And by reaching them with the Go message, we can pray for them, we can learn about them, we can connect with them, we can get to know them, we can share our faith with them. We can make them a priority within the ministry. We can get them to, we can get involved with students, committed to discipling them, and we can disciple them for the next 12 months. And I'm out of time, and I thank you for yours.